Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of QLS Classic. I'm Questlove. And we here at Questlove Supreme, we like to dig into the archives to bring you some really amazing interviews and stories from past episodes. Coming up next, we are going to talk to actress Cree Summer about her pioneering work on the HBCU sitcom classic A Different World and her endless work of animated voiceovers for movies and television. We really hope you enjoy it. We did. We ready?
Yeah.
Let's get it. Here goes nothing. Here we go.
Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call.
Aren't you proud on some mummers?
Yeah.
A veteran, not a newcomer.
Yeah.
Humble brag, never straight stunner.
Yeah.
Hijack my theme, ain't that a bummer?
Roll call.
Gassed up 29 hummers.
Oh, God. It's Robin Beattie all over again.
Tight funk like Ed Funder. Whoops, Ned Flanders, I made a blunder. Freak flag on my Heather Hunter.
Oh, God.
Craft work can't do these numbers.
Oh, Lord.
Ugly salad, hold the cucumbers.
Yeah.
Gunning, running, running, gunner.
Yeah.
Haters boo my verse, sleeping slender.
Boom. Yeah.
Mediocre album opening song, Bill. Thunder.
Oh, yeah. I hate you, nigga.
Robinson, Gay, Ross, Ruffin, Jackson, Wonder.
Yeah.
Oh, we in the alphabet. Okay.
Carrie's asking price, expensive, high fee, dumb, and dumber.
Yeah.
Ayo, okay. Yay. That's a rhyme scheme for Cree Summers. Roll call, Suprema.
Don't worry, it's not that deep.
Roll call, Suprema. Suprema roll call.
My name is Fonte.
Yeah.
Time to get deep.
Yeah.
Cree Summer woke me from my mean sleep.
No! Roll call, no! Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
My name is Sugar.
Yeah,
I got bad habits.
Yeah.
But I'm not the only one here who works with Zoe Kravitz.
Roll call, Suprema, Suprema, roll call. Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
When Boss Bill was younger, Freddie Books came saying, but that opinion was subject to change.
Roll call, Suprema, Suprema, roll call.
I'm gonna get you, Fonte.
Suprema roll call.
It's Laia.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's here.
Yeah.
Cree Summer.
Yeah.
I've been in your tribe for years.
Roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
From Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
To Toronto.
Yeah.
To North Richmond.
Yeah.
To Sherman Oaks.
Roll call.
You didn't let me finish. Let me do it again. Let me do it again.
Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
Oh, man. I didn't even get there.
No,
I was still trying to get there.
I think but
everybody was looking at their books, and I looked at my empty hands.
you did well.
Well.
Wait, you're from Saskatchewan?
I started in Saskatchewan, then I went to Toronto, then I went to North Richmond, then I went to Sherman Oaks.
I make so many jokes about Saskatchewan, but don't think I know anyone from Saskatchewan.
Well, now you
until
do.
Now. Yeah.
That's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Creaston.
It's her show now.
This is my show now, Daddy.
Cree Supreme. Only on Pandora. We have Team Supreme with us. We got Sugar Steve and Boss Bill and Fontigolo and Laia.
Look, that made me sweat, Jess.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm sweating now too. Yeah. I messed up.
We are extremely happy to have our guest with us today. She is, is she our first boho crush ever?
Second, Lisa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because
she's not.
It's okay. Yeah. You won't hurt my feelings.
You said no. You said first. You said first. I meant Lisa. I saw Lisa first.
Is this a Denise really versus Freddie battle? Is that what we're doing?
It's time. No, it's not Denise versus Freddie. It's
Freddie.
I saw Lisa first.
Freddie was to me. Freddie was more idealistic. Like she
exacto
was bright
mundo.
And she was. You know what I mean? Like she was just sunny and like you really like you would take Freddie home to your mama.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Denise was just kind of flighty and kind of like, I
exactly.
don't know.
Exactly. Like, y'all are talking Denise versus Freddie. So, but I was just talking about who I saw first.
Well, yeah, we technically
my
all
first,
saw.
I was more crushing on Freddie Brooks than Denise. Denise didn't strike me as boho. She just struck me as somebody that couldn't keep a job. And I couldn't fuck with that.
Well,
even when I was younger.
Our favorite employee ever, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Cree Summer.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, it's a delight to be here. I'm happy.
Shout out
to
Zoe for giving me this number.
Chica Bantita, love. Yeah,
I had to, you know, hit her up 52 billion times. She's one of those people that might answer the phone this week, or you know.
Now I feel bad that I dissed her in my roll call.
You got to know that Steve and Zoe are like legendary fighters.
Nemesis. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay. They have the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Yeah, they have a love-hate relationship going. But that's Steve, you know. You'll learn to hate him in 5 minutes.
Oh, good, right. Okay.
You'll experience all the emotions.
I already have. That moment I had to spit, and I
so I gotta
took
know,
a dump, yeah.
I got to know that you, okay, today you told me that you we're going to a Star Wars convention.
Yes, and I am now endeared to you because you let me come in a little early so I can still get there. It's a pop-up Star Wars bar called The Dark Side, and it's been traveling all over America. And it's interactive. They haven't told me too much. I do know that there's the possibility of a burlesque show, all the chicks representing all the different planets in the Star Wars universe. Doesn't that sound amazing?
Oh, my God. It's like the one
so
that Jabba the Hutt
was Star Wars.
At.
Yes, look, I got this is all the, my honcho.
And this is the bar that Jabba the Hutt was at, right? That's what you're talking about?
I mean, I don't know what this bar is. Okay. They just call it The Dark Side. I'm hoping the band is going to be there because that band is legendary.
Everything.
I mean... Yes.
Wow. You really are a Star Wars
I am. I love it.
What's your favorite all-time scene in all the Star Wars things combined?
It's probably when Luke, I mean, it's kind of dour and a little maudlin, but I love that moment when Luke, when his parents are dead and they're charred and they're just fucking sitting there, you know, frozen. And he comes up out of that beautiful sphere that they live in. And he looks and there's those two moons, like those, that clear sky and those two blood red moons. I don't know, that just always has rocked me.
I was going to say, have you seen The Last Jedi? But that's a stupid question.
Of course
I saw. What did you think?
You know, I just love the nostalgia of it. I mean, everybody was getting so fucking hung up on, you know, why is Leia flying and shit. I don't give a fuck. I mean, I think my heart is just so all-encompassing, all things Star Wars. Except for, of course, you
Attack
know.
Attack of the Clones? Attack of the Clones?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. He who Jabba, shall not be named. Yeah. Oh. Jar Jar fucking Binks.
The Jamaican.
So, I mean,
that's... no like it.
You know? Yeah, me so no fucking like it either. That's the only one I don't do. But yeah, I mean, I liked it. I liked it. It's hard to make me not like it.
I haven't seen it yet, yeah. So I'm looking forward
to it. As a so-called nerd who is not that much into science fiction.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to figure out what side is correct because a lot of Star Wars dweebs are like
Prince fans.
Yeah, they're not really feeling this film, but yet I trust a Rotten Tomatoes 91 when I see it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, who am I to believe that all these critics were just blindly going to give this acclaim across the board without really?
No,
because they didn't do that for the Natalie Portman one. I don't think Natalie Portman.
Fandomers. No, those three middle ones sucked.
Yeah, I think we can all agree those were a drag.
So you liked the new one, though?
I did. I had a good time, man. I was so excited to get there. And
favorite Star Wars movie?
Of all time? Yeah. A New Hope, of course. Okay. Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of people say Rogue One these days.
No, they can have it.
What?
No, I liked it, but it ain't no New Hope. Okay. I mean, A New Hope just changed my world. I remember my daddy who's left... Now he's dead. He and I loved Star Wars together.
New Hope is...
Sorry, he just split.
Episode.
So I'm just a little...
Yeah, I know that.
He just split, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Were you trying to explain that to me like football?
I was telling Amir, who's not the biggest Star Wars fan, that New Hope was episode one.
Episode one, which is technically episode four.
It's episode four.
But I mean, it was the very first one that came out, and I remember just this whole universe and this whole concept of the Force. I loved it. It made sense to me. Being not a religious person, it occurred for me in a very religious way.
So did you ever have any dreams of, especially with all the voiceover work you do, and working with like Frank Oz and all that stuff, like to ever do these things? That...
Well, you want to hear something crazy?
What?
My father, Don Franks, was the first one to ever give voice to Boba Fett in the Star Wars animation.
Your father's Boba Fett?
Was the very first. Yeah, because we never hear Boba Fett speak. So that in animation, they let him speak. And then a couple years later, George Lucas did an animated cartoon called Droids and Ewoks. And I got to play Princess Nisa of the Ewoks. So that I think I was 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was your father a voice actor?
Yeah, that's how I started. It was just pure nepotism.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
Oh, so,
we're already
I mean, we started from the beginning, so I just...
I know. And we already know where she's from. Yeah. She told us in the roll call.
I know, but I'm driving the car. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate
that. All
right,
Daddy, we in the back. Let us know when we can ask for directions.
So you were born in Saskatchewan?
I was actually... You want to hear something crazy? I was born in Encino, California.
Yes,
I was born
exactly.
in Encino, California. And then, right away, I think at the maybe 6 or 7 months, my parents dropped out of society and moved to Saskatchewan. And I was raised on an Indian reservation with the Plains Cree Indians. We had lived in a house that my father made out of mud, which is traditional for this tribe. Mm-hmm. And we were there till I was about 7 years old.
What was that like?
Oh, it was beautiful. I mean, it was definitely hard. I don't know if you've ever been in a Canadian tundra in the plains in the dead of fucking winter. I mean, it's, below 40. It's pretty fucking cold.
Below 40.
Yeah.
You have to use your lightsaber to open up that inside.
To open your eyes, yeah. It was powerful. I mean, I was exposed to all kinds of beautiful native music, powwow music, peyote music, dancing powwow as a girl. It was a nice way to grow up, I'd say. And then after that, we left the res and we lived nomadic in a school bus for a couple of years and then finally settled in Toronto.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like half of Freddie's backstory.
I think they got it from me. I mean, I remember when I walked into audition, they had this idea that this chick, that Freddie Winifred was from Santa Fe. And so I know that they wanted her to be, have a white mother was what they said. And then they just kind of left it open end. And then I just remember them after auditioning, they were interviewing me and I could see their wheels turning. And then the next time I went back to audition, the script was almost just the interview. You know what I mean? So,
were you the only child, or did you have someone?
I have a baby brother. His name is Rainbow Sun. He's also an actor. I don't know if there's any geeks out there. He was in the original Stargate with Jason Momoa. Oh, we're all very connected.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. He's 10 years my junior.
So, how are you? Well, not even how were you pulled into acting? Your father was.
My father was an
actor.
Doing
voiceover work, but you guys lived this whole...
He was doing more than voiceover work. I mean, like I said, I was born in Encino. My parents met. My mother's a dancer, and my father was an actor. And he was an on-camera actor at first. He was, the movie that they met was Francis Ford Coppola's very first film and Fred Astaire's very last film. It was a musical called Finian's Rainbow, starring Fred Astaire and Petula Clark and my father. And my mother was a dancer in the chorus, and that's how they met. So he was a very, very popular working actor for years and years and years. And she danced all over Broadway, in Sweet Charity with Juliet Prowse and... Shirley MacLaine, and they were really magic.
So what was the decision to leave Encino and sort of Hollywood and then to live
disillusioned. They really were disillusioned. I mean, he was really getting tired of playing bad guys that hurt babies and women, and my mother is beautiful and black as night, and she was tired of you know, being the only one or never getting to be the one. And they just said, fuck it. And they sold everything they had and moved to Saskatchewan, where my father had been. Dig this crazy thing. He's had so many incarnations, but for a while he was the spiritual advisor for this heavy metal band called Crowbar.
Wow.
And, and Crowbar did this tour of all the Indian reservations in Canada. And my old man just fell in love with Red Pheasant, this reservation. And he really became family to them. And I think that's where the seeds were planted. And they told him if he ever wanted to come back, he could. And he came back when he found my mama.
Wow. There's a gorgeous picture of the two of you online.
There
he
is.
He has his hair braided and he has a hat that you wear a lot.
Yeah, I wear my parents' hats. You know, I've been wearing, it's so trendy now, but you know, I've been wearing these hats since I was a little girl, you know.
So as a young girl, did you have dreams of getting, how did you get into the industry or?
I always wanted to be a performer. My parents performed even though we were on the res. You know, my father did this amazing show on the reservation called The Insanity of One Man. And it was just his ramblings and his thoughts. He'd had a projector. He'd play auto harp.
Wow.
and then my mother would dance. You know, she was a tap dancer, retired from the National Tap Company of Canada at 69 years old. Wow. And so just watching them, I really never considered doing anything else. I wanted to be a singer and a songwriter and an actress. And then when we left the res, my father, that's when he became a voiceover actor. And then watching him, I just wanted to do it too.
Did he have was he of the male Blink variety? Like, what type of voice did your father have?
My father just had this really low and rich, resonant, low, raspy voice. Really beautiful. Yeah. I mean, he did everything. I mean, he could alter himself. He was so talented. Can you tell I miss my old man? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So your speaking voice, and I mean, it's so, there's such a, not a trademark on it, but it's so distinctive.
Yeah.
Did you have this sort of raspy, precocious kind of voice when you were a kid?
I did. I mean, my mama used to joke about it that I always sounded like I had a mentholated cool hanging out of my mouth. You know? I mean, even when I was like 3 years old, you know, just like, mama, you know, it's just this low, kind of froggy. And my youngest daughter, Hero, has that same voice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How old is she?
Hero Peregrine Stormborn is 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's a star on Instagram.
She is. Hey, that's some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to an elevator after dance class, and this chick was like, Hero, you know?
Oh, God.
And it was, yeah, it was a little creepy. Okay. I should, yeah.
We spoke to
Layla. Gives you pause.
Sorry. We spoke to Layla Hathaway recently about the way her voice sounds strikingly similar to her father's.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So oh, yeah, she sent me a message.
It's the same as people looking physically.
Yeah.
Their facial features, the voice is almost like the same thing. It's.
Do you know what? It's funny that you bring that up because you're exactly right. When you can have a white man and an Asian man who look the same and they will sound the same. It's jaw placement and it's all these things that give us all these sounds. And that's why they sound so similar. It's really freaky, you know.
Hashtag jaw placement.
Yeah.
Wait, just
my name in college.
Just to hear you speak right now is a very hypnotic thing. Like, I'm hanging on to every syllable.
And it's like an articulation in it that's just.
No.
Yeah.
Where does that
come? This is why she does voiceover work, people.
Yeah, but where does that come from? Like, were you trained for this? Or like, how did you even enter?
Well, like I said, it was pure nepotism. My father was doing a voice on Inspector Gadget, and I was...
What character was he?
He would go on and off with Frank Welker, just sometimes guesting and doing Dr. Claw, and then he would do a lot of incidentals, a lot of henchmen, a lot of, you know, teachers in the school and shit like that. And then I remember, but this is just when he was auditioning. We didn't even know if he had the gig. And then he said, could you audition Cree, which is just being in the right place at the right time, the child of the right person. And then I lucked out and got it.
You got Penny.
Yeah, I got Penny. And then it just really steamrolled from there. I found myself working so much, I really wasn't even in school. I was singing jingles and doing every voiceover that came down the pike.
For our audience?
In Toronto, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, strictly in Toronto.
Well, I was living in Canada at the time. I didn't move to LA until I was 17.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though Inspector Gadget came from, okay.
Yeah, it came from Deke Entertainment, which is a Canadian company.
Because that was the thing in the end.
Oh, Deke!
Yes. I mean, in Toronto is where I did, you know, all the George Lucas productions. It's where I was in the very first Hello Kitty cartoon. I played her arch nemesis, Catnip. God, what else did we do?
Wait, Hello Kitty had...
A cartoon.
An actual cartoon.
It had an actual cartoon, yeah.
Hello Kitty's been around for quite a while.
For a long time.
Well, I've seen Hello Kitty. I just never knew it was a actual cartoon with voices. And she had enemies?
She had enemies. This really weird chick named Catnip, which is a kick-ass name, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I love it. You guys can...
Yeah.
We can go now?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on. Okay. Sorry.
I have a question. Oh, yeah. So, do you have like dual citizenship?
I do have dual citizenship.
Okay. That's cool.
I love this guy. So I don't hate him yet.
Give it time.
Okay.
No, I was just wondering what country we should get married in.
She's married. Uh-oh.
I'm actually not married.
You're not. Oh. Sugar Steve. Hold on, Reagan, you single, Creed?
No, I have a man.
Okay, that's what I thought.
He ain't going nowhere, that's so I guess I should be married, you know? It feels married.
You are committed.
Yeah, yeah. It's not important.
I've been married for like
2 decades. It's not important.
I have a girlfriend. I was just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding. Just kidding.
She lives in Canada.
Met her on vacation in Niagara Falls.
I knew it.
Stop looking at her like that, Steve.
What high school? Did you go to high school in Toronto?
I went to high school in Toronto for about 10 minutes. I actually started school in the 4th grade, and I dropped out right before I started the 10th grade. So I have almost six years of formal education. I went to the Toronto High School for the Performing Arts. There was 36 students.
In the entire high school?
In the entire high school. 36. Fridays were dedicated to cleaning the school, all of us.
Damn.
Yeah.
So what was in between 10th grade and being 17 and coming to the
States? Well, 10th, I was honest to God, I just was so, I was kind of burnt out. You know, I was working a lot. And I remember going to my father, my best friend and I, who's in LA, she's an actress too, Tamara Taylor. She and I, we just wanted to leave Toronto. We had so many dreams about coming to LA. I wanted to come here and have a band, and I was going to make music, and that was really my dream. And she was going to come here at the time and be a model, which she'd hate for me to say now. But that all changed. That all changed. And she, of course, committed to being an incredible actress. But we looked at each other we had just turned 16, and we said, do you want to do this anymore? And we said, no fucking way. And I said to my dad, I think I want to drop out of high school. And he said, what took you so long, man?
Wow.
I was so disappointed that I'd gone this long. And he said, you know, I was just giving you space, man, because I thought you might like it. And I said, I can't stand it, you know.
That was an option?
Yeah.
What did your mom say? Was she the same?
That must have been awesome.
Oh, she felt the same way. I mean, they really had such disdain for the education.
The system.
And you must have had a hell of a savings already for someone of your age.
I was doing okay. Yeah. I came here okay, yeah. Okay, we're okay.
Secured the bag.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. So from that point on, once you came here, what was your first break, I guess? Or
my first break was working for an amazing woman who's since retired. I miss dearly, named Andrea Romano. Okay. And she directed a Steven Spielberg cartoon called Tiny Toons.
Oh, yes.
You said that like obscure.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Oh, anyway, yes. And I played Elmira Duff.
I loved
her. You know.
Loved it.
I'm going to hug you and squeeze you. Yes. And teach you how to go on the paper, Bobby. This silly head.
Can you tell me?
That was my first job in LA.
Wow. Yeah. How do you develop? Because you do so many voiceovers.
Yeah.
How do you develop the specific characteristics in the voices that you do?
Well, like, luckily they give you a picture of the character, and then they usually give you like a little bitty paragraph describing the character. And I remember looking at Elmira, the paragraph threw me because it said she was Elmer Fudd's niece.
Oh,
and
wow.
I remember.
Oh my God, I never caught on to
that.
Yeah,
did you just
Duff?
Guess,
Elmira,
yeah.
Duff. Wow.
And I remember thinking like, oh shit, I can't do an Elmer Fudd. I'm fucked. And then I looked down and I saw that she had like a gerbil skull in the middle of her bow. Do you guys remember
that? Oh, yeah.
And then I read the lines and I just thought, this chick is batshit nuts. I'm just going to play her so crazy. and just see what happens. But I really had no expectation because I didn't put that, you know, that Elmo Fudd element in there. So
I can't believe I never made that connection between Elmo and Elmo Fudd.
And now you look at her face and it's like she looks just like him.
Yeah, she looks just like him. Yeah.
Wait, you're trying to tell me that Tiny Toons came out before Different World?
Yes.
Yeah, that does feel weird.
It did?
Yes.
I remember.
I mean, if it didn't come out before Different World, I got booked it before Different World.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then
you came aboard Different World with 88. I thought
Is
Tiny
that the
Toons
year it was
like
89, 90.
90. Okay, well, 90. Yeah, slightly 1 year. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Tomato, tomato. So, yeah, you just look at the character and you're like, okay, this
it,
is.
Yeah, and I read the paragraph and see what. I usually go by what I feel. You know what I mean? You get a feeling when you look. I do, anyway. And maybe it's just accumulated after all these years. I get a look at the eyes.
So they're not telling
things.
You like which direction to go with? And
they do. They give you a really tiny thing that says she's 13 or he's 14 and he really likes sports. He's shy. He's always got a cold. Or, you know, sometimes they give you little things or, you know, but you really have to make it up yourself, which is, you know,
that's where the acting comes
in. That's the cool part. Yeah.
Man. Are the, so taping Tiny Toons as a voice actor, how long would an episode take in order for you to get all the voices down for?
Maybe like an hour.
Are you serious?
Maybe if it's full cast, maybe an hour and a half.
Is this per episode or just like a season? Or
per episode,
And would you go to a studio? Or like, how would you do it?
Just like this. You go in studio and have all the chairs in a circle like us in a booth with your stand and your script. And those are the best ones. I mean, oftentimes now things have changed so much and everybody's so damn busy. Oftentimes it's just me alone.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about. So I thought it was. Yeah, you just read your lines and then they put it together later or do they mix it?
Yeah.
But at the time you were doing that, you were all doing it together.
Yeah, there used to be a really golden age when we used to all record together and it felt like you were kind of doing live radio, which is fun. Which I used to do in Toronto too. A lot of live radio there. It was fun.
Who are the kind of the veterans of that voice circle? I know Mel Blanc and I know
Maurice LaMarche.
Maurice LaMarche, another Canadian. A lot of us are Canadian, by the way. Tress McNeil, Rob Paulson, Tara Strong, Rob and Tara, another Canadians, Jennifer Hale, Gray Delisle.
Who are the idols, the gods?
Well, for me, I mean, I really look up to Tress McNeil. You probably know her from Futurama and The Simpsons. I mean, she's just one of these. I remember when I walked into Tiny Toons, that was the first time I met Tress, and she did 6 voices in a row, talking to herself, literally the entire scene. And I remember at 17 just sitting down going, fuck, I am way out of my depth, man. Because up until then, I think I was okay as a voiceover artist, but I don't know if I was committed to being really good. Because sometimes when you do things as a kid, you don't even mean it per se. Commitment and real passion, I think, is something that I developed in voiceover over time.
Gotcha.
Like you said, falling in love with people and admiring their talent. And that in that show was when I made a conscious decision to be good.
Is it hard to turn on sometimes, like say if you're on set and you might have gotten a text that blah 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 is in the hospital or someone passes away and suddenly it's like, all right, well, production, you got to turn on, let's go. Like, how hard is it to mentally prepare?
You do this too, you know exactly what the answer to that is. You do it as best you can. You know, I mean, I've been in that situation several times. And I think one thing, just being a born gypsy and a hereditary performer, it definitely is, the show must go on. So I will show up just as best as I can, be a little frayed at the edges. And when they yell cut, probably fall to pieces, you know.
So how did you get word of A Different World developing?
I had a manager when I got to L.A. Very kind man, Larry Robbins, retired now. And he and his wife let me live with him actually for the first 6 months, and he would drive me to all my auditions. And I think Different World was the first audition I had was for I'm gonna get you, sucker.
Oh, what? Snap.
You were in that?
No, I was not. I did not get the part. I didn't get any parts.
Which did you audition for?
I auditioned for the part that Don Lewis played.
Okay.
Could you imagine? So.
Oh, you're the girl.
Yeah. Yeah. You can imagine.
I thought you were gonna say you auditioned for the part that Anne-Marie Johnson got, the girl that was taking off all.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
No, I mean, listen, I think I just went there and just took a dump. I was probably just awful. But the next audition was Different World. Wow. So that was a real score. Really, really lucky.
Yeah.
So you're actually one of the few people on A Different World that didn't go through school days.
Yeah.
So was there a moment for you to get on in that production or in that movie? Or
never. Just, no, that had happened long prior. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was there already
but they were already all friends. That's and don't forget, everybody was
already
friends.
Oh, you came in the second year,
and
too.
And I came the second year. Right, so they were already doing their thing.
What was that? Because so when you came along, that's the year that Debbie Allen also came on board.
Yes, we all came. And Charnel Brown and Sinbad. Mm-hmm. We all came together. Yeah.
So you came on the retooling. What? Okay, can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, because there wasn't internet and none of that stuff back
then.
So what was the problem with whatever happened the first year? That
I don't
they cleaned
know.
Up and then.
I don't know. I do know that. I can't call her Lisa, but okay. Lisa got pregnant, and so she wasn't going to return to Different World, was what we were told at the time.
Yeah. Okay. But also with Marissa leaving and the director, who was the first director before?
I don't know that
answer. Debbie came along. Like, I just know that they just had a complete.
Yeah. They felt they. I mean, and Debbie came in saying, "Let's make it like a real black college."
Black college.
You know,
okay.
What the
yeah,
hell?
The first season is like the weakest season. Like that's, it didn't really do good until she came.
Yeah, plus it wasn't one person who was the star. It was kind of cool. Everybody.
Denise
was a star.
And Dwayne like finally fell in love with each other the last episode, or at least she kissed him the last episode.
Yeah, and then she split.
And then
she bounced.
But she went back to the house. She was still at the Cosby house.
Dwayne was so traumatized, he hooked up with Whitley.
So what was it like for those, was it 4 years?
Yeah.
For you?
That was college, man. It was really.
And work, how old were you at the time?
I started at, they just turned, God, I think I was just about to turn 18, I guess.
Are you tired of talking about A Different World yet?
No, I love A Different World.
Okay, good.
Do you know what I love about A Different World? Yeah. There was a lot of times, a long stretch of time, nobody fucking talked about A Different World. Yeah.
Huh?
And I feel like Different World is, you know, it was over and then nobody talked about it. And then just recently it's become this real retroactive.
Especially with grown-ish.
Real comeback. It's just, it's like, yes, I mean, maybe you loved it, you know, forever and you were consistent, but the truth is,
but I didn't
you
have know, this podcast back then.
Well, you know, in Different World really wasn't. I mean, it was a hit. It was a hit because it was in the right place. You know, we were right after Cosby. And then, but the truth is, independently, you know, we really didn't get a lot of love. You know, and that's the truth.
But
man.
Every single
but
black
we get
household
a lot of love now.
I'm about to say, every single black household had you on. So maybe because
yes,
we were
if
such
I went
a minority,
to like Knott's Berry Farm, I would get a lot of attention
in LA.
But you know,
you
yeah. But
get,
otherwise,
no.
It was really not that popular. I mean, I feel like it's much more beloved now.
Really? Yeah, there's a retro.
Yeah, and I think it's just. I mean, I think the importance of it is more understood. I mean, for me, you know. That was the first time I really saw college. I mean, like my, you know, my grandmother and my grandparents, they were teachers. And so I had people in my family that were college graduates, but it was just always an idea. It's just you hear about this college thing, but it's like, okay, so what is that? But then A Different World came and you actually saw like, oh, so there's this place after high school that you go called college. And what does it look like? And, you know, you have, you know, the calf, like the whole going with, you know, Mr. Gaines, like all that.
Pit.
Like that, going
that
to the
pit.
That
made me want to go to,
yeah, that was, you know, that was like, oh, shit. And so I actually talked to Kadeem. It's been like a couple years ago, but I just had a chance to tell him, you know, man, just how much that show did for me, like going to and graduating from a HBCU. Mm-hmm. I mean, A Different World. I know a lot of cats my generation probably would not have even thought about college if it were not for A Different World.
This is why this show is so magic. And this is also a reason I'll never get tired of talking about it. Because I'm just proud. I mean, what a lovely thing to get to say that I was a part of. Because there's not a place I go where I don't hear the same story, where someone comes up and says, man, I never thought I could go to college. I didn't have a, you know, any kind of academic career, but then I started watching Different World and I got inspired. I got my shit together and I went to college. And that's pretty damn beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So first season you ever did, you had a date rape episode, right?
Yes, with the last dragon.
Yeah,
yes, it's time.
You are the last
was that
dragon.
Season one or season two?
I mean,
season two. It was her first season.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What was that like?
Well, first of all, I loved that fucking movie, so I couldn't wait to meet him. And I was so excited. I don't know, should I?
And
should
awkward.
I don't want to, it was really awkward. Should I tell the story?
Please.
Yes, tell the story.
Yes.
It was super awkward. Well, I just was, all of us girls were in a, you know, yeah, we were in a tizzy, man. We couldn't wait for this dude to show up. And then he got there. And no, I don't want to say that. I'm such an asshole. Everyone thinks I'm so kind.
No, it's okay.
Say that.
Okay, but no, but I just remember we were doing the thing. And this is not his fault because I just attribute this to lack of experience. I don't know how many movies he did other than The Last Dragon. It was probably,
I don't think he did any others.
No. The Janet video.
The Janet Jackson video.
Right. So it's not like he was.
Let's wait a while.
So it's not like he was coming in with a ton of experience. So I definitely cut him a little bit of slack. But I don't know if you guys are familiar when you have a table read.
Mm-hmm.
You're simply reading. I mean, you don't even have to make eye contact with the person you're in a love scene with. You can simply just look at your fucking sides. So I was doing the date rape scene and he started raping me.
What?
You know what I mean? Like,
not literally,
groping me and trying to kiss me. And I was like, and, you know, the whole room went crazy. I mean, it's like a bunch of NBC execs and everybody's like, whoa, 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 man.
Like,
this is just a fucking table read. He's going to kill me. I feel really bad.
It didn't go too far.
I mean, he's not listening.
Yeah.
But if he is, you are always invited to Questlove.
And somebody always says something, you know what I mean? Yeah. As soon as you, I just, oh, you know what?
Yeah. It's okay, he's a god.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
I still love that movie.
Were you there when he did the karate on stage?
Yes, at Chappelle's block party.
Yeah, at Chappelle's, when we were shooting Dave Chappelle's block party in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I feel bad.
He like...
Say something good about him, please.
He's so handsome.
There you go.
Still, yeah.
No, he Timec.
And well, he's Rozelle's cousin. He keeps it tight.
Yeah,
Rozelle's cousin. That's why, like, when you...
Wait, did y'all just hear what he said? No,
they're talking over me. Dave Chappelle did the... See, you missed it.
You missed
it. Chappelle's joint?
You're talking over me. He's Rozelle's cousin, so...
Timec is Rozelle's cousin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... He invited him on stage, and then, like, next thing you know, he was doing karate with the microphone stand.
Like roundhouse kicks and everything.
It was roundhouse kicking the microphone stand.
It was awkward. You were up there, too.
So awkward.
I don't remember that shit.
You were on stage with us?
I was on stage. He was back in. Like, me and Bilal was, like, singing back and forth at the end when it just kind of all just went.
Wait,
wherever.
Did I know you back then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was a Little Brother fan and all this
stuff. Yeah. Now, you didn't get me in. I got in through other means of subterfuge. But.
Oh. Well, I just remember him and Rosario were on stage, and then he roundhoused Rosario's shoulder.
No!
Oh.
And then it was like, all right, get off the stage.
Did Gondra get this on tape?
It was definitely on tape. Yes, it was definitely on tape.
Oh, my God. He's going to feel the last
It was like a beautiful
sequel.
Moment. We were doing Umi Says with Mose.
No.
And then he gets on stage and starts fighting the wind. And then he just starts roundhouse kicking. And then he roundhouse kicked the microphone stand. And then roundhouse kicked Rosario's shoulder.
Oh, shit.
And it was like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
Get out the pool.
Yeah,
get out,
yeah,
go
yeah,
home,
yeah.
Y'all.
This one's got to go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Damn, now you brought that up. Like, yeah, I remember that Kadeem had to jump through the top of the...
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Run!
That's right.
Run! Wait, Freddie, wait. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so cool because Freddie had like a whole crush on him, but he came to her refuge even though he wasn't feeling her like that.
And I was in that nice. Dress.
That purple dress, violet dress.
I used to... Okay, so which episode... Timec was the date rapist. Which one was the episode with Shaza? With Gary,
there were quite a few of them.
Remember, he became my man for like 3 seasons.
He was at Whitley and Byron's almost wedding.
Yeah, we were together.
She remember she cheated on Shaza for Ron.
He was that's right. Mm-hmm. I just remember Shaza. He was like the hotel dude that gave speeches and shit.
Yeah,
like he was like it's people dying that the kids are going to sleep at the sound of a gunshot.
Yes, well, my brother.
But first he was the original
hotel. He was the OG hotel.
No, but Shaza started really. sideways. He started first with this whole book that he had written about misunderstanding how the chicks were supposed to cater to their dudes. He came in sideways. But he was so fine, no one gave a shit.
Hell yeah.
Which I did. Yeah, remember that?
Yes, I do. He was Shahzad for up until 5 years ago.
Yeah, Shahrazad Ali era.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what he was inspired by. He got it. Black man's guide to understanding.
Where is she now?
Is she dead?
No.
Whoa.
Is she dead?
Is he dead?
Is she dead?
Fuck you. He's fucking dead. Now, I thought she was dead, but I don't know. I don't know. I can't say for sure.
Damn, I got to look her up. Yeah. Shahrazad Ali.
That's right.
Wow, man. Many Donahue appearance.
Right.
No,
Donahue.
No reason.
That's, I remember.
I am losing myself. So
after
Donahue,
when okay. the, well, I'm, you know, I know college isn't supposed to go on forever, so. Yeah. I guess having a good 5-year run was good enough for the show, but
I think it should have gone longer. Oh, but you know, they just didn't give a shit about it. I'm telling you, man, we were really a stepchild. We really were.
Did you like the storyline of you kind of straightening up and flying right and becoming a lawyer?
I couldn't stand it.
That's right. You did become
a lawyer. It was literally pave paradise and put up a parking lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it bummed me out.
Because even Freddie and Ron, well, they flirted throughout
the years. I don't
know
what the fuck Freddie was doing with Ron. I don't know why the fuck she had a bun and that tight suit. Yeah. It was weird.
Really?
I never got behind it.
Ron was a Republican?
Really? Yeah, Ron was a Republican.
Yeah, Ron, it was like, yeah.
Oh, what? I missed that. Ron and Dr. War.
It was unfortunate.
Damn.
I got to revisit
you
that.
You got all this.
Yo, yeah.
I want to do some different world trivia on your team.
Four hours a day.
Yeah.
4 hours a day I spend watching A Different World. So.
God, I love
Hours a day?
Yeah, because they showed a marathon.
It's because like once it comes on, you know, you can't turn it off because there's no commercials in between TV shows now. Because
they show all the credits super fast.
Right. Yeah, so you got to wear a diaper. And
right.
You
so it's like, you know, you end one episode and you have
so you
no
don't
time.
Have to leave.
You don't have time to change the channel before the next episode starts. So it's like, oh shit, it's this episode? I'm going to watch two. It's on TV One.
Did y'all hear?
Or Hulu.
Did y'all hear what Kree just said? I said, Bill, I want to battle you. And she said, they have those.
There is a Different World trivia game.
Are you serious?
It's by this company called Cards for the Culture. And they have a Martin trivia game. They have a Different World trivia game.
The Martin trivia game for Christmas.
You know,
I got that one for Christmas.
But I want to be on your team because you know everything. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I see.
Love that show, man.
So after the show, did you... Were you interested in doing more live action things, or was it just like you had a comfort zone with?
Well, you know, the whole time I was on Different World, I had just started a rock band called Subject to Change, and we were assigned to Capitol Records. And on hiatus, we had done a tour. We did like 7 or 8 months with Fishbone, and I remember coming.
91.
Whatever the first year of Different World was when I did Subject to Change.
So doing like the whole Truth and Soul era of Fishbone?
It was definitely Truth and Soul. Yeah, that's what we were touring. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
How chaotic was that era?
I was engaged to Fish at the time and it was crazy.
What?
It
was
crazy.
I was, yeah. For years. Yeah. We were together for years. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That wasn't on Wikipedia.
Oh, it was crazy.
Did you say that wasn't
on Wikipedia? So if you know, yeah, then you know it was crazy. And then I remember that was what I wanted to do the most. That's why I came to LA, was to be a musician. It was never to be an actress. And
was your side hustle.
It was. I really thought I would, you know, afford this music with acting. And I remember when Capitol Records just dropped us. They dropped us before the album even came out. And I was so disillusioned. So I went and did another series called Sweet Justice with Cicely Tyson and Melissa Gilbert.
I remember that.
And you remember that?
Yeah.
You do?
It was quick.
A sweet little thing, though. Yeah. And after that, I just was, you know, writing a little bit. And then... doing mostly voiceovers at the time, I remember. That was when I just went into a really dark period. I was really crestfallen about that, man. I couldn't get my shit together on the back end of that.
So,
The back end of A Different World?
No, on the back end of
the label,
Subject to Change. Back end of that. Because, you know, we had toured that record almost 2 years straight. And that was when Capitol was under this guy named Hale Milgram.
Okay.
And he really loved music. I mean, I'd never been to, like, you know, had a CEO who was always at the fucking gig, you know, and we were just nothing. We were like, you know, an all-black rock band. And at that time, there was just...
How many pieces?
oh my God, we had drums, keys, two guitars, we had a one man horn section, and I think we were like six pieces, yeah.
I'm surprised the producers of A Different World didn't try to figure out a way to ease that in your storyline. Because even when
Freddie was not supposed to dance, know how to dance or sing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was.
I'm like,
here comes the bride.
Yeah. I had to do my best tone deaf. Yeah.
I'm like, they played Try Me in the background in an episode.
When Jaleesa's about to get married.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And Jaleesa doesn't want to get married.
Yeah.
Here comes the bride.
Oh, wow. So you really didn't have to ask.
I know, he's got it all. But
Four
I mean, and then after
day.
That, I just did animation until finally getting over it and getting to do a solo album on Workgroup.
How did you and Lainey hook up for that?
Well, you know, I met Lisa. I met Lisa when I was doing Different World, probably the first season. Kadeem and I were dating when we did Different World. That was my boyfriend for about, we were together, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years.
Oh, my God. Man. You just made so many people happy just now.
I did.
Yeah. Freddie and Dwayne got together.
Yeah. Freddie and Dwayne were together. Yeah, yeah, we were together almost the entire run. We were together, I guess not together the last year.
Wow. Is that hard, like... I hate, okay, I always use this term, but I mean it rather in a polite way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not weird shitting where you eat?
First it's delightful, then it is shit where you eat. You know what I mean?
It tastes
good, then you don't want to eat it.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Well, just working on TV, you know, like I know that there's a lot of temptation to... Because you spend a lot of long hours.
So much time with the people, yeah.
But,
ask
man.
Ask Tim Smiley.
Bruh. Oh,
damn.
Look,
that just slipped out. Sorry.
Yo, Tavis Smiley, I'm waiting on... He been quiet lately, but he
edit that out.
I gotta say something in Kadeem's defense, because Kadeem was really my first real boyfriend, and he was an amazing boyfriend. I mean, we rode motorcycles together. I remember I told him one time, we had just gotten together, I told him I love this comic book Deathlok, and one of our first dates was driving all over the city getting all 10 issues, because I think Marvel had only done 10 issues, man.
Oh, wow.
And he got them all, and going. It was super sweet. I mean, just imagine being young and never having a real adult romantic relationship. It was really a nice way to enter into what love is about.
Wait, time out, all over the city. Where did you guys shoot?
We shot at CBS Radford in the Valley. Yeah, but we had to go to all the comic book shops. To maybe one shop had one issue, maybe one shop had two. It was
no,
a cool
I didn't know if you guys
adventure.
Shot in New York or.
Oh no, we shot in L.A. Yeah, in the valley. Yeah.
See, this is ill because now it's like a whole different idea of who you guys behind the scenes. And even when you mentioned Lisa, in our minds, since you guys never were on the same show at the same time, is so ill that y'all are best friends.
She was. Let me get back to what you said, Amir. She was very good friends with Kadeem. Because of their first season. And I was in I was in my band at the time. And I remember Kadeem was like, you gotta, Let Love Rule had not come out. He was, you know, and he was like, man, you gotta meet my friend Lenny and you gotta meet Lisa. I think you guys will love each other. And I remember them. They came over and Zoe was so tiny. And I remember I played, I think, oh, you want to know something crazy?
No,
Lenny had never heard Carnival, Leon Russell's album. He'd never heard Tightrope. He'd never heard Out in the Woods, which at the time I was, my whole life obsessed with. And I remember playing it for him and we had a real connection. I mean... And with Lilacoy and I, with Lisa and I, we had a very instant love at first sight. That is my sister. I will, I can't say enough about how deeply I love her. So anyway, that's how we all came together. It was all through Kadeem. Thank God.
I'm jealous that Zoe was the second person to ever hear Public Enemy's It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back.
Was she really?
The day that Lenny was done... with making Let Love Rule was the day that P.E. was mastering Nation of Millions.
She don't remember that shit, though.
And so, no, well, there's a story that I think Lenny tells of, like, they really loved Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos. Mm-hmm. So they, like, played it three times in a row. That was, like, Lisa's favorite song. They kept playing it and, like, they felt the baby vibrating.
Oh, so, wow. How sweet.
That's crazy.
I was jealous. I'm like, damn, you don't even know anything about that record. You were there for it, you know.
How did you go about getting your deal? It was with work.
Yeah, with right? work.
Yeah, how did that go?
That was Jeff Aeroff, and I just remember I was shopping for a record at the time, you know, or trying to get a deal, and I was getting a lot of doors closed in my face. They just didn't want the music. And then Lilacoy or Lisa gave my like a 3-song demo to Lenny, okay. And Lenny went crazy. He was like, "I love this shit. I'll produce this shit." And then I think I had a meeting with work group, and my manager at the time said Lenny Kravitz will produce it. And they were like, "Well, we started with Lenny at Virgin," and they were like, "Let's do this."
Okay.
So I mean, I went to the only place that really wanted it, and that's the truth, man. I
you
mean,
got my money.
Yay! Yeah. You and 12 others.
Really?
Oh, that
me and Bill.
Well, you know what? You know that record really was a bona fide flop. You know,
lie. You gave me that record.
Is that why I don't have it anymore?
You gave me that record, and you gave me some group on Talking Loud. I forget.
Incognito?
Japanese group.
I'm so glad you don't smoke.
Kyoto Jazz.
I
forget.
Kyoto Jazz Master?
No.
United Future Organization?
Yes, there you go.
UFO.
You gave me Cree's record, and you gave me
UFO. United Future Organization? Word?
I mean, sometimes I don't know the words, but I know what I like.
Laia used to host a Sunday radio program that was sort of like the precursor to Questlove Supreme. Like, she was, she was the you.
I used to play
the
record.
Highlighting,
she's the mother of invention.
The neo soul.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah.
As Mr. Huxtable would say.
Back when she was 6 years old.
Exactly.
1994.
I love that. Go, mama.
Yeah.
Mean Sleep. How did that come together?
Oh, gosh. I
love that song.
You know, that's a funny one because I did not have the nerve to ask Lenny to do a duet. And we were Mean Sleep was, that's Deliciously Down. Mean Sleep, I remember we recorded the whole thing at Compass Point in Nassau, Bahamas. So talk about spoiled. I mean, what a magical place to be recording. And I think even the mandolin was Jimmy Page's mandolin that we used. And it's just so many little, you know, ancient magic things that went down in that studio. And I remember we were sitting at the controls, and I said, we were getting to Mean Sleep. And I said, man, you know, who are we going to get to do this duet? Thinking, like, please, please feel this desperation I'm shooting at you, man. And I said, you know, I guess I could get, it would just have to be someone really good, man. It has to be someone really fucking good. And he goes, well, I'm going to do it, of course, you know. So that was, but I really didn't know if he was going to do it, you know.
When did you, like your songs, how did you write them? Did you write on the instrument or did you just
write
lyrics?
I'm really a shitty guitar player. I just kind of plunk it out. But I mostly write melody and lyric on my own. And then I bring it to whoever I'm writing with, and I just sing it to them. I tell them what I want it to sound like.
Have you and Zoe ever had a musical moment?
Yes, we did.
Save
Yourself. That's right.
Yeah.
I wrote this song called Save Yourself, and she was in the video. Yeah. And we've had
musical
moments.
Who else was in the video? There's. I assume that's three versions of you. Like you.
That's what it was supposed
Zoe's
to be.
Zoe's you, and then who's the younger?
Those are my two other godchildren. That is Satori Sunshine and Bodhi Lala, two daughters of Hayes Rosen, good friend of mine.
Man, when I have kids, I'm going to have y'all name them.
My pleasure.
Man. Her kids, they sound like action heroes. They sound like Marvel characters and shit.
Isn't it so great? I mean, just that you don't have to fucking be like everybody else.
Yeah.
You don't have to be.
You don't have to be Steve.
Yeah. Sorry.
Steve. Sorry, Steve.
Tell us more about your friend Zoe.
Baba Booey.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
I get it.
Yes,
I get it. Okay. I get it.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Got it.
Baba Booey.
The greatest Zoe Steve moment was Zoe jumped out of a moving car that Steve was driving because she couldn't take it.
No way.
Oh, that's
Steve,
not why she jumped
powers,
out. No, she jumped out because she saw Marissa Tomei's standing on the corner.
Yeah, but that was all she needed. She's like. I'm like, we're driving up 6th Avenue. Steve's going like 30 miles an hour. So we just like, I'm out.
She just
jumped out of the moving car.
Tuck and roll.
Tuck and roll.
You know, Then headlines read, engineer arrested for Zoe Kravitz fucking mishap. That was her fucking fault.
I miss you guys are fighting like cats and dogs, man.
Excuse me, sir. Later, are we going to do rapid fire different world questions? Because there's still more to go. I just wanted to know. So
go ahead, take over, man.
Oh, okay. So me and my mom were talking about the HIV AIDS episode the other day. I wanted you to talk about it and the filming. And if you guys, were there moments of tears because Tisha...
Yeah, she destroyed that, didn't
she?
She
did.
Well, here's the skinny about that shit. You guys got to remember, at that time, you couldn't even talk about sex. Censorship was so intense, man. You couldn't show a condom. You had to imply that it was in your purse
right.
And describe it as best you could. And this is at a time when masses were dying of fucking AIDS. I mean, just, you know, when you weigh that out, it's just so sad, you know, that the right... The Christian right will just not give a shit about it to the point where they'll censor these very important things that can save so many lives. So we were in tears about so many things. And I attribute that to Debbie Allen. Debbie Allen came in and she said, you can't have a show about a black college and not address the social issues taking place, because it's always the children, it's always the young people that are going to yell up and rise and protest. And that's how that episode came, you know, and the original episode was even deeper.
Oh, shit.
I mean, she had, you know, people were dropping condoms, you know, we were trying to get this message across, but it was very tight, man. It was very tight then. Only so much you could say. So I think she did an incredible job. I really give hats off to Susan Fales and Debbie Allen and Yvette Lee Bowser. Yeah, listen. Can you guys imagine what it was like? We had people on this show like Lena Horne and Richard Roundtree and Josephine Permees and
Diane Carroll.
And Diane Carroll. Oh, who was such a pirate.
Patti LaBelle.
Patti. I mean, like,
TV One actually did a marathon of just Patti LaBelle episodes.
Ooh. Oh, I love it. Yeah. But I have to say that, you gotta understand that these actors had never been, some of these actors had to enter the soundstage from the back. You know, and they were coming to a different world. They were driving on through the fucking front, and they were greeted by the executive producer and creator, who's a black woman.
Right.
And then they look over, and the director is a black woman. And then the star of the fucking show is a black woman, and everybody working the cameras, and everybody doing fucking craft service.
Lena must have been blown away.
It was, you know, I remember sitting with Diane Carroll and, you know, the stories that they would tell us, and they would almost be in tears. They would say, you guys have no idea. We could never envision this.
Who?
You know.
Who is she the mother of, Diane Carroll?
Whitley.
Yeah, she was Whitley's mother.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And Ron O'Neill was her father, depending on what season it was.
No, I think Ron O'Neill was Charnel. No, yeah, no, Ron O'Neill
Richard,
was her.
Richard Roundtree
was Charnel. Yeah, we had Shaft and, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Shaft and Superfly.
Everybody
yeah.
daddy.
Everybody daddy.
Yeah, he's somebody daddy now. No, he's on Be and Mary Jane.
He's somebody daddy now.
Yeah. He's on Richard Roundtree. Yeah, he's on Be and Mary Jane.
Patti LaBelle was Dwayne's mom.
She was Dwayne's mom.
Yeah, Kadeem's mom.
That prune cobbler.
Puppy love, dreamy like a tub.
I'm just leaving space for you.
Oh, no, go on.
Okay.
I'll jump in when I need to.
Okay, so on the... I could do this all day. So how did you feel about... Now, the brother storyline, the white brother storyline.
It was a cousin.
I thought he was our brother.
He was my cousin.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew. Yeah. I can't hear you. Louder. That's all I think about when I hear Matthew. Okay, so I also wanted to ask you, when the new cast came, not the new cast, but when the additional...
New freshman.
Yeah, the new freshman, yeah.
You know, Jada Pinkett. And
Bumper Robinson.
Bumper Robinson.
Can I tell you guys, here's a little known fact. Bumper Robinson is a very big voiceover actor, and he kicks ass. This lets you know.
Was Bumper the basketball player?
Yeah, he was Dorian.
Dorian, the basketball player.
The one that wouldn't sleep with Lena.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. She couldn't take it, man.
That's it. Not on a different world question, but on a Jada Pinkett question. Did you guys bond rock and roll wise behind
She wasn't doing rock and roll at the time. I don't even think she listened to rock and roll at the time. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't remember that anyway. Mm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You guys ever see Seinfeld? That's a good show.
Nah, I didn't get
whip it out. Whip it out. Play it.
No. Not worthy of that.
All right. What's your favorite episode of A Different World?
That's such a good question. I'm going to say the one that everybody loves. The Stepping Show is my favorite.
Oh, okay.
Stepping Show is my favorite.
The Stepping Show, is that the...
Do you know why The Stepping Show is my favorite?
What was that?
It's the one where Freddie couldn't get the step.
Yes.
Gilbert
Hall's the one.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Gilbert.
So anyway, why I loved it was because, like I said, Freddie was supposed to be such an incompetent when it came to singing and dancing. And so... when we got to the actual dance routine, you know, my mother's a dancer. And so I was doing the dance routine all out and I kept saying, I'll fuck it up in the show. And then I think it was Debbie or somebody said, just let her get it because it'll be so much more rewarding if Freddie gets the dance.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a special one for me.
So
you got more different world questions.
Go ahead. I don't have to.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you in retrospect, the episode with where it's really focused on you and Jasmine, well, you and Whitley and Roslyn Cash.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Oh, my God. Can I talk about Roslyn?
Please.
Yes. I love that woman.
Can I just tell you that the minute she walked in, what a goddess. And what a life. And, you know, just her telling us stories about the movies that she did. And I don't know. She was like the kind of person you just were dying to hang out with on purpose, you know, just wanted to go get a drink with. And she cussed like a sailor. That's my kind of broad. And it was delightful to work with Roslyn. And Jasmine is one of my favorite people on the planet. And we were, and still are, very much in love. Our firstborn daughters are born on the same day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What?
And
you sang background on her album.
I did. Yeah. I wrote a song for her album. Yeah. She let me write a song.
Which one was it?
Everybody Knows My Name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, real, real good song there.
Not Try Me.
Try Me.
I just remember the May part.
When we just hold you was the shit though.
She inspired me. I remember just like thinking, God, I hope my band gets a deal. I hope we get to do this.
When we found out that Jasmine's guy was working with Full Force.
Yeah.
Right.
Yo, we were like, yo, this is going to be crazy.
Yeah, what was the white chick that they used to? Samantha Fox.
Yeah,
it was just like tits on a chin. Yeah, I remember that. But she was amazing. It was like a singing blow-up doll.
But periodically, Jasmine would always remind you of her talent. Like, you'd see her dancing in the Lift Up Your Voice and Sing video.
Oh, she danced with Alvin and Haley.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Listen, Jazzy is no joke, and let's give kudos to the woman. She's written books.
Yes.
She directs and writes and produces plays. She's no joke.
Community.
Real quick,
did she write a book with Afeni Shakur?
She did.
About?
With Afeni.
Well, since we're in a different world, I have a slight question.
Okay.
Whatever happened to the character Millie?
Millie.
Aww.
Millie,
do you
Millie
want to
was
know something?
Gone after
I love her.
She transferred to another school.
Too. I loved Millie too. I thought she was the sweetest little thing.
Millie and Dork
what
Ron.
A little ting.
When Ron was still a dork in the first season.
Yeah, his girlfriend.
Yeah. I liked Millie. That's a character they could have kept. Yeah.
I hate you, Steve. Yo, I hate Steve right now. He's making fun of me.
It's a great show, Steve. You should have watched it.
Yeah,
I watched it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I did.
A little bit.
You were talking about Rosalind Cash. Like, what was she like? I mean,
she was just like a down sister. You know?
Really?
She was funny and she was really generous with herself. She spent time with us. You know, we got to eat with her and talk with her and ask her lots of questions. She never got tired and she was just delightful.
Put something in the air with her?
No, we didn't do that with her, but we certainly did that a lot. I mean, if I'm honest with you, I don't even remember the last season. I was so drunked out. I mean, Jasmine and I used to go across to this place called La Votre Sante that was like right across. We taped two shows. So you'd tape one show in the day, then you'd have dinner, and then you'd come back and tape it again. So, you know, our theory was
Same show twice.
And
for
then they
what?
Well, then they'd edit it and see what's the best from both shows. Because both shows had a live audience. Mm. And they'd say, you know, what's the best? We'll take the scene from the first show, this scene from the second show. But by the last season, I was already on tour with Subject to Change in my mind. I was bilocating. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I was so ready to go do this thing that I've always wanted to do. Jazzy had a record coming out. You know, Kadeem was about to do a big movie. We were really like... you know.
What movie?
I don't remember. I think it was about two white men can't jump or something.
Yeah.
We going to see.
I was about to say, was it Death by Temptation?
I was thinking.
I hope you didn't quit the show for that one.
We going to see.
So we couldn't wait to get the fuck out of there. You know, just in retrospect, what a bunch of dumbass ingrates, you know. But we really.
So you say that the last year was so.
Well, we, like I said, we taped the first episode. Then Jazzy and I would go to this little shitty restaurant and we would get as drunk as we fucking could. And then we'd go back and do the tape the last episode. So when I see a lot of those shows, it's wonderful. It's the first time. It's great.
Was that wedding episode and was much fun filming as it is as much fun?
No, it was awful. It was awful.
The Whitley wedding was awful because
you got to understand, as much as we were ready to leave, that show just fucking ended. It ended with a thud. And we didn't know why it ended. Mm. You know, as far as we knew, we were still going strong. Everybody loves you and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it was like, it's over. You know, and so that wedding
episode, no cake, no nothing,
no fucking party. Just don't let the door hit you on the way out, man. And we really didn't. It came up. It was like all of a sudden, oh, this is the last episode. Oh, okay, we'll get them. Better get them. Fucking get them together. Better make it a wedding. You know.
Oh wait, you talk. Okay.
Yeah. That was it.
You was talking about the fake out wedding?
Oh, sorry, the fake. Oh, you're talking about the fake out wedding. Oh, you're talking
Whitley.
About. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Will you marry me?
Oh, that episode was amazing. Yeah. Because when he said, please, baby,
please,
baby,
please.
The audience went fucking crazy.
And did you go crazy in your body because that's your man? Like, yes, baby.
No.
I went too far, Pri. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I wasn't feeling it.
Someone y'all know of. Once gave this episode as a reference to me to go grab my woman.
Oh.
If I knew better.
Oh, really?
So go grab your woman.
Is this the Rick James story?
No. It's someone else. You know that I'll mention off the air.
So this was something. This was a
someone
woman
called. That... Someone kind of called me. And was like, yo, man. He's like,
I already know who the call is.
Something's happening, and if I was you, I'd be on that Dwayne Wayne. I'd get on a plane right now, come out here, and grab you one like Dwayne Wayne at Whitley's wedding. Like they use this thing as an example. Yeah, so that was a great episode.
I'm so curious. I'm so fucking curious.
All right. Joe Morton. Just brilliant, he is.
Yes, he is.
All's well, ends well. All right, let me get this song ready, Steve, because I can tell you're about to say something off the chain.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Are we done with Different World, though?
Yeah.
I watched it a little bit, but not like...
Which episode did you see,
Steve? I didn't study it. Like,
which episode was it that you saw? What was the...
Specific episode?
Yeah.
Don't fall for light years, like, trap.
No, I would honestly watch for Lisa Bonet and Jasmine Guy. You know, like
they weren't there at the same time.
I thought they were
never.
Hot.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
Yes, they were.
Wait, they were. First season.
I watched the first season, and that was pretty much it.
Okay.
Do you still keep in touch with everybody?
I do.
About the cast?
I do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I got to say the most memorable moment I've ever had in my career doing shows was when the 12 of you showed up. Like, imagine in like 1994 and you're doing your first show in Los Angeles, California, and then like it's Cree and it's Lisa and it's Jasmine and it's Jada and it's Latifah. Wow.
Light.
MC Light was there too.
Yeah, it was Light. And it's what's her name? She was the AT&T girl. She has short hair.
That's my best friend.
That's
who I'm talking about. Shamara. Yeah.
We
moved here together from Toronto. That's the godmother of my children. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I loved her for so long, man.
Yeah,
she just did a 12-year bid on Bones on Fox.
Oh, phew.
I was about to say, damn, you said 12-year bid.
No. I mean, that's how long the show ran. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
Oh, God.
Sorry, babe.
Yo, that night, we were never the same. We just thought, like, yo, the sky's the limit. Like, yo, our first show and all... of Black Hollywood is out for us.
But you know what? I am such a diehard Roots fan. I mean, we were so fucking excited to be there.
Oh, man. I'll say that of all, I mean, we've done, I think we're up to like 4,500 shows, but that to me is That's a top 10 memory.
Well, whenever they get together and there's a picture taken, it feels like y'all break the internet. So
for real. Yeah.
But we do hang out on purpose, you know. I think it has to do with just that we were, you know, really, there weren't a lot of black people on TV, and we were a part of such a movement. And like I said, when you're an underdog, you know, you really you bind together, you know, you get become really resilient and really strong. And I think that's another beautiful thing about that show, is it really created, you know, lifelong friendships. You know,
but you know it's a season of reboots. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, but they'd never touch this one. It's such a weird thing. I just don't understand.
No.
They could do it without us. I mean, don't wheel out the fucking ancients.
No.
I mean, bring in some new blood.
No,
you know?
On Full House.
Nobody wants to see our
old
asses.
They brought back Fuller House.
Fuller House
but that's white people. They can bring back fucking anything.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
F-O-O-L-E-R.
Yeah.
No. Not Fuller.
I mean, they went to Japan, and what happened? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I would like to know. Yeah, what?
Okay,
what
well,
I wish they'd bring it back too, with like with young blood.
To build on that question, where do you think Freddie Brooks would be right now?
I think Freddie might have. Well, God, you know, the unfortunate thing, she had to become a lawyer, but maybe she used that. You know, maybe she started, you know, a couple of lovely organizations. I'd like to think that she went back to school and started teaching. Maybe had like 15 kids or something crazy. You know, because I just always thought she was such a mother nature and so nurturing, and I think she'd have to have a lot of babies because she'd have such an overabundance of love and compassion. And I think she would change things, you know, because she did. This character was very inspiring. You know, I have moments sometimes, my mama, we call her Hellcat, sometimes she'll come to LA and visit, and we'll see, you know, a couple of cute little young things, and she'll say, oh, look at those two Freddies, you know. And it's just, you know, they'll have their, you know, hair all
hair,
wild,
yeah.
And they'll just be dressed more like themselves than ever before, you know, just being themselves powerfully. And I think that's what Freddie gave us, because at that time, there were no, let's face it, there were no black chicks that didn't, you know, we were all part of that time where it was so important to look like everybody else and be like everybody else. And especially on television, it was really important to fit into some kind of caricature. And let's face it, there were Freddies that existed all over the world that were so isolated and alone. And then they saw this character and they were like, oh, fuck, there's me, you know? And that's why I love her. I mean, I just think she's so
Freddie
special.
Brooks, if she was on, Freddie Brooks in 2018 would be an Instagram honey.
Oh, please
like
don't
she
say
would be,
that.
Not like, not like in like
not
the,
selling
not
flat tummy tea or nothing.
Yeah, nah, not a scammer like selling tea, but she would be like, she would be the, or no, Freddie Brooks, she would be the YouTube hair girl, like showing how to do the curls. Like, this is the
oh, natural chick.
I think she'd have
be
more,
the natural
I
chick.
I'd like to think she'd have more important things to do.
I do think she'd be back with Shaza, though. She'd be back with Shaza and had those babies. That's what I think.
To have all the, get it done.
You think she'd be back with Shaza?
Yeah, because Ron ain't having all them kids.
Nah, he was.
Nah, he was.
He can't. He needs to be able to afford
it. Here's another fun fact.
Like 2 months ago.
Yeah. She wouldn't be with him. Nah. Do you guys know this? Another fun fact is that Daryl Bell is in love and been in love and living with Tempest for a million years. Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
they did a reality show.
Yeah. Tempest Bledsoe.
What?
Wow.
Vanessa Huxtable. Yeah.
They did a reality show. The Real Husband.
I did. Yeah.
Am I just blowing? Are your mind blown, man? Is your mind blown?
Damn. I'll say this off the record.
Yeah.
Okay. That explains why he was accompanying someone to court a lot. I see.
Did you ever meet Bill Cosby?
I did for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if it was just for a few minutes and then everything went black.
Yeah.
No, Steve. No, Steve.
I don't even need a fucking car.
No, I don't
need a moving car. I'll eject myself from this seat. Right.
You understand, Zoe?
Now,
I do.
Now you see where he draws the line.
Yeah, I do.
I knew that shit was coming. Come on, Steve. Steve.
The Howard Stern in me is laughing though.
But. Cut his mic off.
So, but you only met him once. That's one
time.
Yeah,
it was like assembly, you know, like the opening day when we first started
assembly.
Working on the show, and he came out and kind of thanked everybody and then split.
That was it.
Yeah, it was real short, man.
Gotcha.
Okay, now I want to know, how hard is it? Are you the only notable person of color in the voiceover world or
no? Oh, no. Aisha, oh, no? Sorry, I'm not going to answer that for her.
No, but there's a few of us, but you know, not very many. I'll tell you, there's probably about 3 or 4 of us, or maybe 5. The thing about the voiceover community is it's so fucking small. It's like a clique, you know. We've got,
is it 50 of you or is it?
Oh, there's less than that. Oh, there's. Wow. I mean, when I go to work, I probably see the same 10 people every time. And when we see a new person, we're like, who the fuck is that? Are you lost? You know? No, we're not that mean. But
I've seen that look in the waiting room, though.
Is Dawn still doing a lot of voice acting?
I think she still does, yeah. I don't see Dawn very much.
Lewis.
She does voiceovers?
Yeah, she does.
She did Futurama, some other stuff, too.
Listen, yeah. She's done some really nice jobs, yeah.
I just seen her in a movie, or she's something on Netflix, or it's just recently... She was a lawyer or something.
So, I think I know what you're talking about, and I can't remember it either. But
I seen it this week, and I was like, oh my God, that's Dawn Lewis.
Doesn't she? She's definitely sacrificing children in the attic.
She's on the show.
She looks fucking amazing. She looks great, man.
Cree, are we ever going to see you back on the screen again?
You know what? Sometimes I do it for friends. I have friends that will ask me. I actually just did a film for a friend, an amazing writer named Charles Murray. I just did a film for him.
Well,
what's it called?
It's called Truth. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
For someone in terms of voice acting, because that's something that I'm looking to get into.
You do have a very nice voice. It's got such a pretty resonance.
Thank you so much. Where's the starting point for that?
Oh boy, man, I got to get real with you. It's so tough. It's so tough to get into. But I can't really give you the same advice I'd give anybody else because you know the sound of your own voice. You do this all the time. I'd say you just need to know somebody. How you doing, man?
Who is the gatekeeper? Who's the gatekeeper?
You know, I think it's probably the casting agents and the, you know, the different networks like Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network and...
I'll ask you a question.
Yeah.
I'm actually...
Is it hot in here?
A little bit.
I'm sweating, man. Hold on. I just gotta... Okay. All right,
it's a good thing you got the wet and wavy.
I'm going back. I'm going back home. I can feel it in the back. The back porch is getting very, very upset. What? Yes.
The living room turned into the kitchen.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I'm in the process of developing 2 animated series now.
You are?
So is it...
Hey.
Oh, hey, how you doing? No, but is it kind of a mafia system like... Am I naive thinking like, I'll choose who I want to do these voiceover
things?
No,
not at all.
Or is it I gotta go to the main 30?
That would be dope.
No, you choose whoever you want and you'll be just fine. It's not like that at all.
So it's not like a union where you have to choose?
Oh, God, no.
Because in my mind, I wish.
Yes, there is.
And you watch Robot.
SAG after.
You watch Robot That's Chicken, sad. They throw anybody in their situation and it sounds really great.
Yeah, Matt, no, listen, it's definitely not. I think, I think the reason that you see the same 12 people is because they're really fucking good. That's all. And they're really dependable. You know, it's like your studio musicians. You know, you got your session guys, you know, and I feel like we're the session guys.
And it's harder.
And I feel like it's a sacrifice. Sort of like, when I visited the set of Sesame Street, it was almost like the same thing. Like, that's a very specific area that is hard to make a steady living. And if you can...
You get in there.
Is it a good living for you now?
It's a wonderful living. Yeah, it's very nice. I mean, listen, I'm a mama. I started having babies real late. My children are really young. And I have time to hang out with them. I have time to write music. I have time to do all kinds of things. And I can still support myself, which is really nice.
So what is the average, a work week for you as a voice actor?
Well, you know, I have shows that I'm a regular on. I have a lot of shows that I reoccur on. And then I have a lot of shows that I just do guest spots on. So in your regular gigs, you have maybe 2 on Monday, you know, 1 on Thursday, 1 on Friday. And then you'll have your reoccurring gigs that you do, you know, throughout the week, too.
Okay.
I'd say I work maybe 4 or 5 times a day.
And do you find it's a difference between, because it's funny, I listen to you and I'm like, I've done voiceover work, but I feel like it's a difference between a voiceover actress and a voiceover, I kind of want to say announcer, like a Dennis Haber.
They're two different things.
Versus, can you break that down to people?
I think a voice announcer, you're trying to do something that is going to, of course, lure them in. And the only quality that one has to have is that sell ability and that likability. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you're a voiceover actress, you're playing characters. So likability and all those other things are not important. It's just important that you're delivering a well-rounded, believable character.
How do you protect your voice?
I don't, man. I smoke weed. I smoke cigarettes. I'll smoke you if you'll fit in this paper.
Oh, no. What are you doing after the show?
I'm my tribe leader.
I don't take care of my voice. I'm an asshole when it comes to this voice, man. I just go really fucking hard. I mean, yeah. So I got no advice about it.
You've been blessed. I mean, it works.
But it's also just, it's real raspy and it's always been, and it's not going to clean up if I fly straight,
Yeah.
So why fly
That's
straight?
That's what you got now.
But I bet you don't. Do you eat dairy?
I do.
Wow.
I do, yeah.
Yes.
I do.
In my mind, okay.
Yes.
I think everybody thinks, sometimes I'll just have my face in a rib and, a fan will walk by and go, be like, oh my God, Freddie, you eat meat. And I just think, yeah.
I wouldn't
love
that.
I love that thing. I love it.
What do you want, man?
I wouldn't, yeah.
What did you think of Nika and Van's cover of Mean Sleep?
I really am good friends with Nika.
Oh, okay.
Because Nika's son, Suede, goes to school with my daughter, Hero. Okay. And so, I love Van. I loved it. I just thought it was cool, And yeah, I liked it a lot.
That was dope. No, I thought they really did it justice.
I thought they did a good job. Nika sings her ass off, man.
How did you meet Van in the first place? Because he's on Street Fairy, right?
Van and I wrote together Deliciously Down and Mean Sleep. Okay. And some other songs that I wish the world would get to hear too. I love writing with Van.
SoundCloud.
We were, right. You know what? You're going to say, listen, they call me Amish 2000. I'm such a fucking technotard. Gotcha. Someone would literally have to do the thing for me. I don't know.
You know me. I got you.
Thank you. Thank you. So we'll scratch each other. But that was something that the record company did.
Okay.
The work group set me up with this dude, David Ryan Harris from Follow For Now.
Oh my God, yes.
Follow For Now,
She watched. Yeah, I had his first album.
Listen, man, I used to follow them around like a fucking groupie.
His solo album, too.
I used to, when they would come to LA, my friends and I, like fucking groupies, we would go to the gig, we'd wait by the fucking bus. It was embarrassing.
I was so mad I missed out on them. Like I was too young when they were out.
Yeah, his first album had a record on it called If I Had a Dime. And I played the fucking words off that shit. That one and Genie.
His voice. So,
and he did Deion Ferris's, I know.
He did. Yep. He did Deion Ferris's album. That's right. And I think he was her MD for like a couple of years. So they set me up with David Ryan Harris and Van.
Okay.
And Van Hunt,
Because if you won't work, that you were labeled with
You know
with
what song I wrote with David Ryan Harris? I wrote Still My Heart with David Ryan Harris. That was our co-writing.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Estero is from Toronto.
Yeah.
That's my girl. I met her because she was dating my brother, and then he brought her to a gig, and she happened to be on the same label. And Estero is a pirate and a dear sister of mine.
That's one of my sisters.
David was on Work Group too, wasn't he?
David
Ryan Harris.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't?
No, he was on something else. Okay. They're probably thinking of Eagle Eye, Cherry. Ooh. Nana's brother was.
That's right. Yeah, Eagle Cherry, the Save Tonight record. That was
a good tune, man.
I haven't heard that song in a minute.
Yeah. Dude, that record was everywhere. I heard it like in Trader Joe's.
Oh, listen, it drove me crazy because at the time my album was just laying there like a fucking it was laying like a fucking egg, and everywhere we went we'd hear Save Tonight, and I'd be like, that motherfucker! I hate you, Eagle Eye! Yeah. Oh, the jealousy, man. It was deep. That was a hard time, man. We had put so much love and...
You were ahead of your time, Queen.
I don't know, man. It was rough. I mean, touring was beautiful. We were really adored and embraced everywhere we went. And then, you check the record sales and be like, what the fuck?
I have a question. Again, the name of the band?
I was in a band called Subject to Change. Right. And then I did a solo album.
And then, okay.
I left the band broke up and did a solo album.
All right, but let's say the Subject to Change.
Yeah.
You didn't.
That album tanked as well.
But there's now.
Oh, that did actually come out?
Yeah.
It never came out. So, I guess it didn't officially tank.
No, I think it did come
did
out.
It?
I think it did come out, yeah.
I think that's like one of those things you find by accident at a truck stop.
I'm trying.
It's right there beside
Steve
Naomi.
Steve's trying to get his...
Right beside Naomi Campbell's
I got
album.
An idea.
All right, go ahead. Oh, God. Have you seen that album? It's called Baby Woman.
Yes. What? I've actually heard it.
Hold up. Naomi Campbell had an album?
Yes, she did. Yeah. Yes, she did.
Doing what?
Singing.
I bet Quincy produced it.
No, he didn't.
He probably helped to get the deal. But.
Okay.
No, but Steve, the subject to change album did come out.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Sorry.
No, now you waited too long. Now it's going to sound totally bad.
So is this how we just diffuse every Steve bomb?
Yeah. Just not talking?
Just
I'll either forget or it just won't sound right anymore.
Come on.
Go ahead, Steve.
So the subject to change album, what's that called?
It was called Womb Amnesia.
Okay. Did it come out or not?
I don't think it did.
I think it did.
You keep doing that.
There's copies. There's used copies for sale on Discogs. I'm looking at them right now.
Okay, well, I guess it did.
So I'm messing up Steve's joke. Come on.
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether it came out or not, actually, because the idea is to re-release it now.
Oh, God, I would hate to put that record out. I mean, I just think it sounds like a raging chipmunk, you know? It's like, you know, because I had just really become a feminist, you know, like, just discovered that I was angry, and so I was really fucking angry. Like, you know when you first get angry, I mean, I was mad about being black, I was mad about being a chick, I was mad about everything. And so that album just sounds like a petulant frenzy, you know. And I think
it's youth.
Yeah, I mean, it's sweet, you know.
What about the other
album? But it's fucking pissed, you know. It's pissed.
Hearing
you know?
It now, is it kind of embarrassing? Like to think about, like just like.
No, I think it's kind of cute, you know. Yeah. It tickles me a little bit, and I just sound so small, you know. Like I sound really small and mad.
So
not very potent.
Since you mentioned anger, just curious to check your temperature on Hollywood right now as a feminist.
Yeah.
And
I love it, man. This is a great time. I think a lot of motherfuckers are shaking in their boots, and they should. It really excites me. I just can't wait for the next one, you know? I can't wait. I just can't wait for the next motherfucker to get strung up.
Oh, yeah.
Because the truth is, you know, I got two small daughters who have really already expressed a desire to perform, and I don't want them to ever be prey for these predators. And I also know myself, too. I am a big fan. I admire so many people. I admire so many men. And I have just been blessed that no one decided I was prey. Because I've looked up, like I said, we used to wait outside the bus, man.
Yeah.
Looking like we were prey on purpose, you know. And, yeah, they all got to get. Because this is ancient.
Mm-hmm.
This is the beginning of time. This is the plight of the weaker sex, and time is up. Time is up, motherfuckers. I have been got. No one ever got me completely. Let's say I got halfway got. And I'll tell you another really sad, shitty fact that I know you can attest to. If you get a bunch of women together, not one woman has gotten out unscathed.
Yeah,
not
got a story,
one,
yeah.
Not a single one can say they didn't get me. Because we all were so fucking happy to be there at one point, let it go further than we wanted it to go. Maybe we even did say no, and it still kept going. And, you know, this is what has happened to all of us. And this is why this time is so important, and it's got to keep going until every last one of these motherfuckers are out.
What do you tell your daughters? Like, what do you say to them?
You know, I have to be very careful. They're 4 and 6. I don't want them to be afraid.
Yeah.
What I tell them is, if anybody tells you that they can touch you and don't say anything because they'll hurt your mom or dad, you tell them your mom is a wolf, your daddy's a fucking dragon, and nobody can hurt us. Mm-hmm. I said, anybody touches you, you tell us. I can't wait. You know. That's my babies know, and they see me. I'm not the one to cut off while driving. I'm not the one to fuck, with in the parking lot. You know what I mean?
What does the pre-hood character sound like?
Right,
motherfucker. It actually does. Yeah. Listen, don't forget, my mother's family's from North Richmond, California.
Oh, okay? Man.
So I can, don't push me.
Birthplace of Master P.
That's right, baby. That's right.
You really really about that life.
That's so dope.
Yeah. So now, like, what do you pretty much do? Is it, are your days pretty much consistent of voiceover stuff?
Or? It's all voiceover. I mean, I just started writing again. I'm super excited. I'm singing again, and that's just setting me on fire. I'm so happy. Which is, you know, when we talk about retroactive, Street Fairy is retroactive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, people are talking to me about music.
Yeah, I really
it's making
think it
me
was
sing
a
again.
That's yeah, I mean, it was a record. I really, time. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the legalities if you could get back the master or something, but I really
I
think
can't.
It's
Sony. That belongs to them.
Forever.
Yeah. I'd have to re-record the whole fucking thing, okay. You know?
But yeah. No, I think it was a record. I mean, when it came out, I think it was kind of before its time a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it was
Thank
something
I definitely
that,
wasn't ready for it when it came out.
Yeah,
when it first
it's,
came
it's
out.
Definitely yeah. more for now. It would be understood more now than it was at, you know, at that time, I think.
Which gets us back to my idea of putting it out.
He did say that.
Again,
yeah, but you can't do that.
But you know, also, don't forget, there was a weird thing going on at that time in the 90s. Do you remember when you weren't allowed to do television and music? Do you guys remember
You know
that?
What?
No!
Do
you,
really?
That was, you don't remember that thing? If you were on TV...
I got 19 jobs.
If you, well, that's now. But yeah. If you were on TV back in those days, you'd come on the stage and they'd be like, ah, fuck, is this that chick from Different World?
Yes. Oh, yes. I do remember that attitude. Yeah.
Well, I guess it only
Man,
worked for Vonda Shepard.
There's no way... Oh, I remember Vonda Shepard. My God, did someone just say Vonda? I remember Vonda Shepard.
Yeah, Allie McBeal.
Yes.
Allie McBeal.
That's right.
I've been down.
I remember when she used to just play Genghis Cohen, man. But at that time, you really couldn't do both.
Yeah,
there was such a stigma about it. Now you better do it fucking everything.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, maybe, I think your journey with the music, maybe it would have been different if people knew you from the music first and
maybe.
Then the acting.
I
but
don't know.
When you start with the acting first, people automatically discredit you as a musician. It's easier to be a musician than
I have a feeling that was what hindered Jasmine's career as a singer as well. Because people were expecting Whitley.
Just weren't having it. Yeah.
And they were waiting for Whitley to start singing.
Yeah, they wanted the Whitley Gilbert RBO.
But I gotta say though, I am just super grateful for all the sweetness and love that people give Street Fairy now. I was just literally FaceTiming Lenny last night and he was saying, man, I can't believe how many people won't stop talking about Street Fairy. It's so nice, you know.
So you're writing now, still singing stuff now?
I just have been really set aflame. I caught a fire. It feels so good.
You ready to perform too?
I would like to, yeah. Yeah, I will. I will. Yeah.
To rewind back to your voice acting.
Yes.
You've done video games as well, right?
I do. Not as many. Not very many, though. Video games are tough.
Is that the new industry? Like, that's
really?
Yeah. There's things I like about video games and things I don't fucking like about video games. I mean, video games, when they set down that script, it's like thud.
Yeah, that's what,
you know what I mean?
That's what I wanted to ask you about, the strike that recently happened with the voice actors. Because, you know, you guys have to do, you know, screams and so many different, like, you know, so many different screams and so many different yells. And it's really rough on your voice.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if that was something that you had ever encountered while...
Oh, yeah, man. There's some jobs you just call Bloodthroat. That's like the kind of the code name. You know, how's your gig today? Bloodthroat, man. Just fucking Bloodthroat. Because it's just page after page of, like, you know, one punch has this sound, one punch has this sound, 30 fucking kicks, 19 death cries. You know, and by the end of the day, by the end of the day, you just feel like you've been hit by a semi, you know, in the throat. And, and the other thing about that contract that was so shady was, you know, these non-disclosure things that we'd have to sign. And then they were allowed to not tell us what we were auditioning for. So you'd go to this gig, it would just say unknown video game, right? And then you'd book it. They'd negotiate your fucking fee. You'd book it.
And you find out it's fucking Call of Duty.
Yeah, you're in Halo. You're in Halo, and you got paid 10 cents.
Yes.
So we were pissed, man. We were pissed. Wow. It's not okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, is the union... Well, you guys did strike behind it, right?
Yeah, we did strike behind it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So are the terms better now?
They're a little bit better. You know, they were also, you know, the video game companies were saying that it didn't matter if professional actors were doing the jobs, that it was all about the game and that we were incidental.
Wow.
What I always wondered was, why couldn't they just, you know, once you've recorded, you know, 20, 30 people doing all these different screams, why can't you just reuse them?
Wait, you know what the kind directors do? The ones that you love to work for do. They say, we got it. Go home. Yeah, we love those people.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's Blizzard is really good like that. Andrea Torres and Blizzard is there. They're a good company.
Which video games were you on?
Oh God! I honestly, I'd have to IMDb myself. I smoke so much weed. It won't be a lot of Fallout 2. It won't be a lot of video games.
Ah, Fallout.
Because
okay,
I don't
okay.
do a lot of
Final Fantasies. X2. Yeah.
Are you an indica All or a sativa? Type chick?
I like sativa. Yeah. I also like a little Skywalker indica.
Yeah, Skywalker, it's a hybrid.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about the new law situation?
In California.
That we're going to be able to do it?
Yeah, recreational.
You can
oh, yeah,
do it.
I think it's wonderful. No, it's not yet.
No, it's now.
Yeah,
it's
it is now.
He already got his. Yeah.
I got mine on Wednesday.
So anybody can do it?
There's only four shops in all of Los Angeles, and they're all in West Hollywood.
Fuck.
But if you have a prescription, we get a discount.
I don't have a prescription.
Oh, you're tripping.
No, what? I just got a guy that drops it off. I've got the same guy that's been delivering this shit, you know, since the Coke days. You know what I mean? It's the same dude.
It's something about the normalcy. I did that up until like a couple of months ago.
Yeah. Was it nice? What does it feel? I've never even been in one of those shops.
Well, you know what's crazy?
It's like 7-Eleven, but with weed.
Oh, no.
That sounds amazing.
I went into... Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy to get your prescription over the phone and, you know, get it to 5 minutes. So that's the whole thing. I mean, this is what I hear.
Dollar drugs.
I like that door to door, man.
No, that is old school.
Yeah.
But they upcharge, you know, for delivery.
I don't mind, man. Because in a pinch, you're just like, now, you know?
It's like, I don't want to get out the house.
No. There's an app for that.
Because usually when you want to smoke, you don't want to go anywhere. Yeah. You know?
They're talking about drones delivering your weed now.
If I was motivated, I wouldn't be smoking weed.
Exactly. Yes.
Mama.
Hi, Amir.
Yeah. Hi, Amir.
Did I come back to your show?
The ship landed, huh?
We forgot you were here.
we just kind of took over. I was so enthralled. No.
Remember that time you said, I'm driving?
Were you in a... You're like in a different world over there.
Oh, God.
Whoa, wait a minute. I just read something.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be Meg Griffin?
I was Meg Griffin.
You were Meg Griffin?
For the first season.
I was wondering who that was.
I thought that was... Yeah. I got to watch the first season again.
Okay. Oh, it's awful. Don't do it.
No, don't worry. Yeah,
do you know that's one of my heartbreaks? Bad, like, yeah, I just didn't fit. You know, I got to say. But how do you not fit for...
I mean, you're like the veteran of...
Listen, I've been fired from better jobs. I have, man. I've been fired from some fucking good gigs, man.
But that show's been on forever, though.
But can I tell you when I do go there?
How does
one
get fired from a voiceover gig, though?
You just get the same call you get from every gig. You know,
say,
it's not working. You know, we really love her. It's not working.
She's smoking sativa in the stairwell.
But you know what? Here's the thing. You know when that fucking job smarts me? When I go to do a guest spot on the Cleveland show and it's a building.
Uh-huh.
A Family Guy like monolith.
Yeah, that
fucking, I get butthurt going up on the elevator because I'm just like, think of all the fucking money I could have made. That was probably the wrong gig to get fucking fired from.
Okay, but I tell you,
I just didn't, you know when you just don't gel? I mean, I have to tell you this, you know, Seth Green and I are, that's my love, but the other Seth, I mean, we just didn't, gotcha. we didn't do it. So you've done Robot Chicken then? Oh yeah.
That's
a love of my life. He's such a dope ass dude. But you know, it just didn't jibe. Listen, we all ain't gonna be friends, you know?
And some of those jokes are hard.
It's like, Meg was always just a straight ahead character. So you didn't have to be silly like
Peter. But I think
Peter.
That might have been a problem. I don't know how good I am as the straight man.
Hmm. Oh, they wanted you more drier.
Yeah.
And you were over the...
I think I was just trying everything everybody else was trying, you know?
Because I love that first season. So
you're, you do?
I got to watch it now.
Thanks.
Well, yeah, I was one of the people that was like, I want to see it, but, you know, when it...
Oh, when they got canceled.
When they got canceled and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was one of those people too.
Wow. Okay, now I got to re...
Sorry, America.
Watch it. I got to re-watch it. Wait, so... I'm using The Simpsons as the wrong example, but is the goal to be on a series so successful that those residual checks just...
It would be nice. I mean, you know, it would be nice. You know, I don't even... I don't think I think about it in terms like that and in VO because it's such a constant. Do you know what I mean?
But when what constitutes a successful series?
Like, I mean, I think Rugrats was successful. Oh, we did 20 years of Rugrats.
Shit!
Oh, yeah. That was successful. Hold on. I'm sorry. I hate to rewind to Family Guy, but I just read the Wikipedia
Drawn
page.
Drawn Together. Yeah. We
got to talk about Foxy Love in a bit.
Yes.
Everybody loved the Foxy.
Yes, they did.
Let me know if this is correct on your Dem's Wikipedia page.
Them's my Funyuns. Them's the Foxy Funyuns.
Yes!
Them's ain't your Funyuns. Them's the Foxy Funyuns. Sorry, baby. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to see if this is true. This is on your Wikipedia page. But it says the reason why Meg got recast is because they felt having a black woman voice a white character would be racially insensitive.
The
Cleveland show.
That's a fucking white switcheroo. Shit? Ain't that a fucking? thought it would be insensitive, so we fired the black girl.
Is that true?
But a white man can play all these.
Is that true?
Listen, if it's true, I hope it's not true because that would
That would piss me off too.
Yeah, let's say that's not true.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she got to go back in that building.
Yeah. I
got to
go.
Everything's true on Wikipedia, right?
I had to update Greg Fillinganes before he left.
Oh, you took off Carrie Lucas.
Yeah. Wow.
You nerd. Now should we talk about Foxy?
You nerd.
Yeah, we can
She's
talk
not
about
real though.
Foxy.
You know that, right?
Foxy Love?
I just feel that
she's
you're real. About she's to ask real. Some other Hunter questions.
Foxy Love is real. She's a chocolate colored freaking habit forming nymphomaniac mistress salva musician.
She plays the jingle frisbee.
That's right. She played the shit out of that jingle frisbee.
What we get, how many seasons we get out of that? That was like 2.
I think we only got 2.
Damn, okay. That was a good show.
Yeah, it was so good. No one was exempt. You know what I mean? I mean, even God. I remember there was like this glory, glory, hallelujah, and he stuck his, you know. So sorry. Anyway, so I'm just saying everybody got theirs. You know what I mean?
Actually, here's a good question. Yes. Do you think there should be limits in comedy? Because like you know, the Dave Chappelle.
I love that. Didn't you love these?
I love them too. But there are quite a few people that did not like the specials because of some of the topics that he covered. So I'm assuming that you don't think that there should be any boundaries in comedy.
I don't know if I just think in comedy. I mean, I just think that, oh, that's such a tough one. I use my instinct when it comes to when I'm offended. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, because like I can feel when it hurts.
You can tell you
know
when the intention is bad.
I can feel when it hurts. Yeah. And then I can feel when it's just a really fucking clever joke, man. And listen, caricatures exist for a reason. Right. Yeah, we all got a little bit of that shit.
You hear how she said that word?
Caricatures.
Okay. Did I pronounce that wrong?
No, you said it right.
I pronounced it right. Caricatures.
Talk about the Foxy.
Yeah,
she would have said caricatures. She would have said caricatures. Yes, I love that.
Man, do you hear these voices? Man. It's crazy.
Yeah,
this is nuts.
I'm sorry. Hear it. Wow.
It's great.
And actually, I almost wish I wasn't in the room with her so I could just hear it.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Do your kids know what you are?
Do you know they don't give a shit?
They don't watch TV, do they?
They do. They watch. My daughter loves The Legend of Korra. Brave Little Wing loves The Legend of Korra.
Is that your voice?
Oh, you know which one? Hero loves Vampirina, this new show I do on Disney Junior. And I actually, may the circle be unbroken, by and by, Lord, by and by, I just got them a gig on Vampirina. They just did their first gig.
You're pulling the kid. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's get third shit. Generation. Let's get yeah, come on. Mama's going to be older soon.
Start a dynasty.
You know what I mean? Shit. Somebody else get to work.
Mama had a savings by the time she was 17.
Right. Show you right. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but they don't get very excited. I mean, every now and then a cartoon will come on and they'll say, "Is that you?" And I say, "Yeah," and then they just go about their fucking business. As a matter of fact, I got so excited about Vampirina because this is the only cartoon they've gotten excited about. At first, I was trying to push it on them. I'd be like, "Don't you want to check out this? Look at this shit. You like it? You like it?" And they just didn't like it, you know. So.
Wait, that sounds like unpaid bill kids. One of our guys on the podcast is the musical director for Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And his daughters fucking hate Sesame Street.
See what I mean? justice in the world.
I'm sorry, I'm about to make a bad Cosby reference. You remember the Halloween episode when he was like trying to scare the kids?
Yeah.
And they were just like, no,
I'm good.
I see. Well, you know.
I think I'm, I mean, she got I'm trying to think.
Star Wars bar.
Yeah, I was about to say. Like,
what time you guys go to the Star Wars bar?
She was supposed to be there at 8, you bastard.
She was having so much fun. Anyway, well, Cree.
Listen, this was so nice.
Thank you so much for coming.
Lifelong dream.
Thank you, guys. What a cool-ass surprise. I had no idea I'd be here yesterday. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming.
Yeah, I'm happy I did. Well, like I said, I'm a fan, so...
Well, we love you.
Thank you.
We love you.
It was
thank you
really
for letting us
delightful nerd out. Meeting all of you guys.
Likewise,
even you.
Likewise.
As she looks at Steve.
Even you.
Any last words, Steve?
No, on behalf of two members of the Steve Miller Band, myself, Boss Bill, yourself.
Yes, Fonte and I have Steve Miller
Band. That's weird that y'all got Steve Miller swag on. Anyway, on behalf of It's a Lie, yeah.
Thank you for raising a nation of weirdos and loving being
yes.
that.
I guess I want to say God bless the freaks.
Yeah.
For the
yes.
freak shall inherit the earth yeah. and the squares better watch the fuck out.
Bitches.
And they come out at night.
That's freaks. Right.
Can I sign off my own show?
Hold on.
Can I get the car back, please? Thank
no.
you.
No.
We don't throw it. I'm skulking over all y'all. All you freaks out there, thank you for listening to Questlove Nay. Supreme. This is Questlove.
Thanks, Nay.
We will see you Nay. On the
I gotta go to the bathroom. Nay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You gonna stop and get
Sunday? I love you, Greek. Goodbye.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.